Question 144. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Luke 24, 25 through 27. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. A prophet is a marvel to consider. In the days before Christ, God would find and commission men or women to speak for him to kings as well as the common, the Word of God. This word may have been good news or bad. It may have been threats or promises, but it was clear to whomever received it that it was to be obeyed. So what kept anyone and everyone from saying, Thus saith the Lord, and making themselves out to be a prophet? The answer is clearly outlined in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 22. The idea of prophets came from the people who feared God that day in Horeb when the fire of God came down and stood on the mountain. For fear, they asked for a man to go between them and God. God then granted them prophets. To prove themselves genuine to the people, they were given power over nature or the ability to see the supernatural dimension and therefore could tell people future events. By reason of this power, they were called seers. The Lord speaking to us by the prophets is an old idea, but their prophecies last until today because many prophets spoke of the time in which we live. They proved themselves to the people of their day as genuine. Unfortunately, it remains a matter of faith for us that they were true prophets because we can only read about them and believe their prophecies as they come to pass. We have no first-hand knowledge of their sincerity or commission. We cannot test or prove them, as God instructed us to do. We must believe them for the fact that, to this date, they've not been proven false. This was also the case with the disciples. They had no more proof than we do. Nevertheless, Jesus chided them by saying, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He acted as though they were foolish not to believe all the prophets had to say. He even called them fools. Are we too foolish not to believe all the prophets had to say? If so, what are we if we do not even read what the prophets have to say? What do we know about the prophets and their writings? What was Obadiah's message to the people of his time? Who was the prophet that Jesus quoted more than any other? What prophet foretold the circumstances and details of Christ's death? These are elementary questions that we, as believers in the Christ of the Scriptures, should know. We must admit that we would rather leave the Old Testament with its difficulties and legalism and saunter through the New Testament with grace at one hand and love at the other. But can we really understand the New Covenant in ignorance of our Father's recorded acts and prophecies? Jesus also used a term here to describe their attitude toward the prophets that's quite condemning to me personally as a skeptical believer. The term slow of heart is quite descriptive of the attitude with which I approach spiritual things. I struggle with dubious miracles and wonder with skepticism at what seems to be exaggerations of the Old Testament. When I read of dreams and visions, I'm more apt to blame what a person ate the night before than credit him with having heard from God. I'm convicted and ashamed when Jesus calls me a fool and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. How much more prepared we would be if we were better versed in the writings of the prophets? How much less worry and heartache would we suffer if we knew that God was working his plan in our lives and indeed in the whole world. This advanced knowledge is available only to those who look to God for revelation of the writings of the prophets. We need not fear the future, nor need we face it in blind, foolish mirth, but with an assurance and strength that comes from knowing. The people of Christ's day were not unfamiliar with the Scriptures. Remember, what they called the Scriptures in those days were more like what we now call the Old Testament. What they knew and were expected to know were the words of the prophets and the law. Their problem was the same as we have today, the application of those words to their lives. We may read of history and predictions about the future with great interest, but somehow, in the human psyche, we have difficulty with the present. We have difficulty applying today what we knew yesterday about the future. And when we look back on our past, we have trouble coinciding events in our memory that most assuredly happened simultaneously. Time and memories of the past seem incongruent. Time and prophecy, as well as history, are hard to commingle in our mind. Too much time is wasted thinking about tomorrow as well as what happened in the past, until we find today spent. The principles of prophecy demand application to the present time. Too often we find how prophecy pertained in a situation in the past, but as it is happening, it goes unnoticed. The disciples were walking along, thinking about their futures and worrying and thinking of the past and wondering, while a prophecy was unfolding in the very minute in which they were living, and they were unaware of it. It seems as though we were created to live in the present. Perhaps that's why Jesus said that what is sufficient for today is all the evil we can handle. So take no thought for tomorrow, until tomorrow. If you live in the present, you're able to apply today what you learned yesterday. You'll see prophecy unfold before your eyes and not be taken by surprise or be found in despair and worry. You should know what the prophets said so that you'll not find yourself working against an inevitable future and thereby be found working against God's will. You need to gather all the information that God deemed valuable enough to preserve for thousands of years and put into our hands, your Bible. We all should seek God for revelation in these areas and be quick to believe what He reveals. How embarrassing it would be to be found crying over our condition, only to have Jesus point to Scripture and show us that it was all told to us in advance, but we didn't read it. How will it be to find that in the darkest hour in your life, there was no praise on your lips, but instead, complaint? No gratitude to offer God, who was from the beginning and ever shall be, but only crying out, "Where are you, God, in my time of trouble?" All the while, everything you needed to know to give your journey comfort, meaning, and the assurance of knowing you were living in the times it was known of God from the beginning was provided to you, and you did not so much as look at it or apply it to your life. These disciples watched the one they thought was king of the universe given over to the will of the kings of the earth, the one who could spit and open eyes and ears, now dripped with the spit of wicked men. They wondered, they worried, they faltered, and then they ran. They saw their Savior, their friend, and their hope cruelly impaled on a hill outside Jerusalem. They saw the one they thought was the light of the world laid in a dark tomb, sealed by the government they expected him to vanquish. In their most desperate hour, they could have known exactly what was happening and taken some comfort in the fact that God was working his marvelous plan. But they were slow of heart to believe what the prophets said years before. Jesus reminded them what the prophets said. Why are you worried? Why are you surprised? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things?